Welcome to Tourism Media Mayhem, the podcast attempting to unravel the sweater that is media buying for destinations. Josh, do you get that reference?
No, what does that even mean?
It means,
it's cold outside.
It means break it down, take it apart, dissect it.
Are you talking like the Weezer song?
Yes.
Is that where this is going? All right.
You got it. You got it. I'm proud of you. Awesome.
That's fitting.
Yeah.
For today.
Exactly. Yes, it is. I'm Sasha, and this is Josh.
And? Oh, yeah.
I thought you'd introduce yourself, but I can introduce you too.
No, thank you. I need the help sometimes.
All the time. We're the hosts of Tourism Media Mayhem. And we're talking about something that, what, Josh?
Oh, just the mayhem is real today. It is very real.
Yeah. We're sorry, you guys. It is real today. We are talking about something really exciting that I am pretty passionate about. We're talking about streaming audio today. An awesome trend, I would say, that has emerged over the years and just taken hold of a lot of the industry. And we have a very exciting guest joining us. Laura Fernandez, VP Head of Industry Travel and Tourism with SXM Media. I knew I was going to fib over the brand, and I'm really sorry. But Laura, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me. I will tell you, I feel like I have a case of the giggles right now listening to both of you on the show. And I'm like, you know, it's like when you're sitting in a classroom and the teacher's like, be quiet. And I'm like, I can't stop laughing.
We should have just introduced sooner.
No, I was like holding in my laughter. I will say, Sasha, I still sometimes trip over the name SXM Media. I always have to like pause and take a deep breath and then I say it. SXM Media is our collective sales organization for SiriusXM, Pandora, and then Stitcher Podcast. It also includes exclusive partnerships with NBC Universal, SoundCloud. We just signed a partnership with this massive podcast production company called Audio Chuck that produces this podcast called Crime Junkie. But that's what SXM Media is.
That's incredible. So many great products rolled into one.
Yes.
I love it. And I know you've been with them for 9 years. You have an extensive background in the travel and tourism industry. So I'm so excited to talk to you today.
I'm excited to be here. Again, I'll try to hold on to my giggles.
You can let it out. I pretty much laugh every episode all the time.
Love it.
Awesome. Well, I think just to launch into things, tell us a little bit about the changes that SXM Media has experienced over the past year or 2 years and more about the products that you offer. I know you touched on them, but tell us just a little bit more about what you do and what you offer.
I'll give you a little bit of what I have done at the company. So I was actually hired 9 years ago to launch the Las Vegas market from an advertising sales perspective. So as everyone knows in the media industry, you have ad sales reps that you work with. And I was hired to launch the Vegas market. Pandora had a strategy that where we were seeing this massive scale, and we were able to target local markets based upon our user registration data. So what they went in from a strategy standpoint is like, okay, Pandora has all this massive scale. So they went into all the top markets and brought in radio sellers. So my background is actually radio sales and brought me on. I live in Vegas, started closing a bunch of casino deals. Makes sense. We launched a casino gaming vertical, and then that evolved into travel tourism. And my role as head of industry is not only do I work with sales executives and travel brands to figure out what kind of strategy that they want, but also I work, obviously, from an external standpoint. I'm going to all the travel conferences like U.S. Travel Association, Destinations International. And the real, like, interesting part of like where Pandora has evolved is, maybe over 3-4 years ago, we were acquired by SiriusXM. Are you familiar with SiriusXM satellite?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So we were acquired by SiriusXM, which was a really nice complement to the in-car piece. And then where Pandora, it's like heavy mobile listenership, heavy connected home. And then we obviously, you talk about one of the hottest like trends in audio right now. I don't know if it's trends, but it's like consumer habits is podcast. So we then acquired Stitcher, which is the largest podcast content creator. And we really like honed in on having the scale to touch listeners across their like satellite to their streaming to their podcast journey. And the Stitcher acquisition was really interesting. And I love learning about podcasts, and especially now with satellite of learning about live reads. I think there's so much from an audio perspective that's interesting right now.
So what you're saying is you being on this show kind of makes sense.
Yes.
Podcasts meet podcasts.
Podcasts.
Yeah. Except
it's all podcasts. It's all podcasts, because that's what's so exciting about this whole industry is like, I mean, I truly believe, like, especially for travel brands, and we're talking about media, it's like, take a little bit of a little cliche to say, but a visual vacation and listen to some audio. You like what I did there?
Yeah.
I was trying to be as witty as the sweater opening line.
You nailed it. No, but it is such a perfect fit. Josh is right. And gosh, what a cool conglomerate, and just what a cool product set that you guys have. I have a follow-up question for you. Mm-hmm. How do you think the pandemic has affected streaming audio? Like, have you seen, I would imagine that we've seen higher listenership on a lot of the, you know, stats that I've seen. As you said, as more people are traveling and spending time at home and have more freedom to tune in to audio sources. But I'm curious from your perspective, what you've seen in the industry.
It's growing. And this also includes streaming music. And you're going to hear me say like streaming music and podcasts and then satellite. You know, I reference the three, and it's grown. The listening habits have changed, though. Like, we're missing, you know, it's starting to come back, but we're missing the commuting times. Mm-hmm. And you're seeing a shift in when people are listening. It's pretty consistent straight through the day. Again, we are seeing now the commuting hours start to come back. But during the pandemic, we saw this massive spike with people listening at home. And what were they using when they were listening at home is connected home devices. So the Amazon Alexa, the Sonos, the Google Home speaker. So we saw this increase in people consuming audio on connected home devices. We also saw an increase in people listening on their desktop and laptop computers. I mean, very logical things. And especially we saw this spike on Saturday and Sunday, but it was like that. We weren't having that spike in the 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. or the 3 p.m. to 7 p.m., like those commuting times. So we saw a pretty even listenership, listening habit throughout the day.
That is interesting. That is really interesting how it's been broken out and just how the landscape has changed.
Yep.
So I have a question related to that. I know there's subscription habits, and then there's the people who listen to it for free, and then they've got ads, and obviously that's who we care about because we want our clients to buy ads and we think it's relevant. How has that mix changed over the last couple of years, or has it at all?
You know, we have this, and this is one thing that, you know, when an audio company is coming out and they flash these big numbers, you know, the one question I always go back to is what percentage of that audience is ad addressable? So, you know, when we're looking at like our total audience, like across all our platforms, we have 150 million and more than 90% are ad addressable. And that's like the biggest difference between some other publishers is like making sure that that audience and that number that you're touting is the addressable audience, because we don't care about the, especially on the advertising side, we don't care like, okay, awesome, you have this great big number, but how many people are going to hear or see an ad?
Right. Yeah. And that's a huge percentage. So is that pre-pandemic or post or like, I guess, are we post? I don't know. We're not post.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing. It's like, I mean, we pull numbers pretty frequently. And so that's where we're seeing, I mean, yeah, subscriptions, like we've seen a spike in our subscriptions because of SiriusXM side. Now, SiriusXM is an interesting platform is because obviously it's in car, but we also have the SXM app where you can consume and listen to SiriusXM on the app. But so we have seen a rise there, but there is still an ad opportunity on SiriusXM on all the talk formats.
True. That makes sense. Yeah, that does make sense. I'm kind of all over the place. I'm just thinking of questions now, but with SiriusXM, I've always kind of, so I spent like 7 years living in Wyoming.
Okay.
There was not
where? A lot of these. Where did you live?
Lander.
Okay. I'm obsessed with Cody, Wyoming, just as a okay. little travel piece.
Yeah. A couple hours south of Cody.
Okay.
I love Cody. But anyway, I lived out there for 7 years. The AM, FM listener availability was crappy. And you know, you couldn't get internet in your car for a lot of your commute, especially if you were driving 30, 40 miles through the Wyoming desert. I've always kind of assumed that satellite radio had a decent reach in more rural markets. Is that true? Or am I just kind of,
you know, it's a really, it's a good question that I don't have the answer to. And like of the breakout, but I mean, we're looking at from like, gosh, I did make this note is like we're SiriusXM hardware is in one out of every two cars on the road. And so it's 81% penetration in new cars. So, I mean, there's some like massive scale there. So I'm also curious to see if there is a correlation between the rural and then the city. And so I can't really accurately answer that right now. I wish I could.
That's okay.
Yeah.
I kind of came out of nowhere, but I was just thinking about it. Yeah.
You know what I'm really interested in right now is, so we're talking on a podcast is, I think with travel brands, streaming audio has always been a really great complement. It's a reach play. I mean, you have 193 million people listening to digital audio each month. So you have this massive scale. They're spending 4 hours plus a day. So a lot of travel brands use streaming audio to reach people in those incremental moments where visual media can't, like you're running or you're working out and you're cooking and you're driving. So those opportunities to reach people where visual media can't has always been, you know, a driver for tourism brands. But from the podcast side, this is definitely a new platform for destinations. And destinations now, as you know, all have typically, they're not running national campaigns. They're running localized, like feeder markets or drive-in, they're fly-in markets. So when they come to me, they're like, hey, we want to get in on podcasts. We want to have, you know, Conan O'Brien as one of our top shows. Conan O'Brien read our ad and do a, you know, host read ad. Awesome. But that runs nationally. Host read ads are nationally run. And that's like where the industry is at. And we're constantly working to evolve that. And what we've done is out of the top 1,000 podcasts, that only equates to 1% of the total listening audience. So you have this massive scale, all these podcasts, maybe they don't have the scale, but they have a really engaged audience that now we've built this SXM podcast network where you can age, gender, geo target. So if we have a campaign for, you know, whether it's like Visit Salt Lake City and we want to geo target people that are listening to podcasts, we can do that. And the advancements that have come with podcast targeting are pretty amazing. Every podcast that gets uploaded gets transcribed. So not only can we audience-based target, but we can also look at transcription targeting, where I don't care if the podcast show is a travel-specific one, but what if they start talking about travel? Now we have the ability to dynamically serve an ad for just because, again, we got the keyword of someone talking about travel or outdoor experiences.
Yeah, that kind of contextual targeting is huge. That's really cool. I didn't know you could do that with podcasts.
It's next level. And I think that there's, especially for DMOs, it's like we, you know, streaming audio, again, it's a great compliment. But then to expand outside of music and then also touch people when they're listening to podcasts and actually geo-target, that's really important. I will say my one thing with destinations, I'm sorry, I'm over talking, everyone.
No, please.
No, this is, people hear enough of us. You're fine.
my one thing is with DMOs and tourism brands is, okay, so we get the value of audio and advertising an audio platform. But the problem is always like, okay, well, we have a visual strategy. So how do we like actually create an audio ad that's impactful? Announcer read ads or host read ads, like that's, you know, you can do that pretty like simply of like knowing, having them talk about the destination, but like coming up with a creative audio spot is so important because we know that creative drives results. We created our own in-house audio consultancy called Studio Resonate. It's actually a team of 50 plus people, and we help brands develop audio creative from copywriting to production to actually brainstorming. And that's one thing I really, you know, stress, and we work in tandem with agencies and the brands of like making sure you really don't just say, okay, well, let's take our TV spot and take the TV spot and then just write an audio spot from that. Like really think about the audio creative, and there's so many great things you can do to create that theater of the mind, which ultimately drives results.
Yeah, that's that. Super true. Oh, sorry, Sasha.
Sorry, no.
Now I'm talking too much.
Gosh,
God. Shut up, Josh. No, I just wanted to touch on something you said, Laura, that I tend to think a lot about is, you know, that TV ad just translating to an audio ad doesn't always make sense. And from a digital ad perspective, we have a lot of advertisers who are just like, okay, take our Facebook ad and version it for Pinterest or Instagram. Yeah. And those are two different sets of people.
Yeah.
And even though your targeting might be similar, the type of ad is not going to work the same on Instagram as it would on Facebook. So you have to think through that sort of stuff.
You have to think about the platforms. I mean, okay, so if you're going to advertise on mobile, create a different spot for connected home. And it's two different listening experiences. In car, same thing. If we want to target people in car, and then you go down again, targeting is so key, and matching the creative to the targeting that, and the audience that you're trying to reach is another trend, is multicultural traveler targeting and making sure, again, we're putting together audio ads that are going to resonate with the audience that you're targeting. And that's where I always like, it's a service. I don't like to say added value, but it's something when you're working with SXM Media or any platform, it's like they know how to do audio creative. So lean on that platform to like help develop that creative and then work in tandem with your agency on that.
Definitely. And I think the call to action specifically on audio creative is very important because you have to consider where the your ideal persona is hearing your ad, and are they in a place where they can click or tap or, you know, actually take the action that your CTA is directing them to? That's something that we've seen and tried to advise on, but I'm sure you have more advice there as well.
Yeah. And that's a tough one because like, there's no like guarantee that they're going to like, you know, be exposed to the display. So we always do make the, especially when you're talking about like a Pandora or SoundCloud, like, or Pandora, like ad display or ad video, because it's two different types of listening experience. Like display is only served upon user engagement. So, you know, they're thumbs upping or thumbs downing. Video is making sure that we have products where it's like you reward listeners with, you know, uninterrupted listening for an hour if they watch a video message. But this is where measuring audibility is huge. And while we know audio drives results, but like being able to actually measure audio's ad effectiveness is also another key piece of this. I mean, we can now track audibility, and that's been so huge for so many brands, because while they're driving, they may not take immediate action, but we're going to still be able to follow them on that purchase journey and attribute it back to the audio ad they heard on Pandora.
That's awesome. A lot of this is speaking your language, Josh.
I know. And so that brings me to a really important question, Laura.
Yes.
You know, this, the whole premise of our podcast is that digital is better than traditional media. That's kind of the whole purpose.
That's Josh's thing. Purpose, Laura.
That's awesome.
But no, I need you to answer this once and for all. Is streaming audio traditional media or digital media?
Or does it live somewhere in the middle?
Sasha, don't try to taint her answer.
I'm just giving you options.
I do go towards the digital route. And the reason I do that is, now I have sold radio. And actually, fun fact, my husband is a radio morning show host in Las Vegas. And now, granted, I've been out of it for 9 years, but from a measurement standpoint, that, and the targeting standpoint, and the making sure there's no waste, like, that was like a game changer for me. I spent my career in radio, and I will still say there's still a massive audience. I mean, my husband still has a job, and he's still endorsing products left and right. I think from a AM/FM standpoint is, I used to sell traffic billboards. Was it the 10-second billboards? I think that was really impactful. Or endorsements. I think that there's still a case there. My one thing was making the shift from traditional to digital is also the ad load. I think that was another thing that was really appealing to me, of like, I was now selling audio ads that were either by themselves or with one other commercial. So that was really, that was a selling point for me. But again, I do come from a household with both traditional and digital media, but I do think that streaming is digital.
Okay. So you and your husband have the conversations Josh and I have about traditional. Yeah. No, that's fine. I can accept it as digital as well. But who fulfills on streaming audio right now, Josh? You or me?
No, I just think we just discovered that the wrong person is fulfilling on it. That's...
I can fulfill on both, but you only fulfill digital.
It is. It's a hard one. I mean, we do. I mean, I can speak at SXM Media. We work with both broadcasts and we work with digital teams. I mean, we work with both. So it really is, you know, while I will say personally digital, I do think there's a gray area, because we have a whole sales team that's dedicated to working with broadcast media buyers.
Yeah. And a lot of the targeting.
Okay.
A lot of the targeting capabilities you described, honestly, Josh is doing for a lot of his current tactics right now. So targeting, that is one area that it definitely helps to have a digital perspective on.
Wow. Sasha's saying something nice.
I did it. I got my one time out of the way, so now I can be mean.
Okay. We can get back to the real topic here. I know Sasha's got a list of things for us to talk about, but I was kind of, sorry. So now I'm dictating the show. You're welcome, Sasha.
I'm so used to it, Josh.
No, but now that we've decided that this is digital, tell me a bit about like what type of things you can track based on engagement or listenership of the advertising, and then maybe how you're seeing the travel and tourism industry taking advantage of those kind of conversion capabilities.
We work with almost every major measurement, like Millward Brown. We work with Place, Foursquare, and Claritas. And the way that destinations are definitely using us, and this has always been a little bit of an issue, is we do look at foot traffic. So we worked extensively with, are you familiar with Placed? And
yes,
so we actually, Pandora was the first platform to work with Placed on the measurement of an actual destination. That was Las Vegas. And this is back in, 2016. where it was the first time place measured not a brick and mortar or retail location. We measured the foot traffic from ad exposure on Pandora to the city of Las Vegas. So that was back in 2016. And that's really where, if we have the scale and we have the correct amount of impressions, because we do have specific minimums in place, it's foot traffic all day. Now, are you familiar, I'm assuming, familiar with Arrivalist, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So Arrivalist, now there's a limitation with the products, and we haven't expanded outside of Pandora or SoundCloud, but how we work with them is on mobile-specific campaigns, we can pass back mobile ad IDs and then work with from them from a measurement standpoint. Those are really the two main, and Miller Brown, we look at brand lift, brand affinity, but destinations primarily like show me the foot traffic due to ad exposure.
Yeah, very cool. That's kind of what I was hoping to hear. Very cool.
Yep.
Awesome. I wanted to double tap on something that we've talked a little bit about, but I think is really interesting, and that's connected home devices. Can you tell us how you're seeing those being used currently for some destinations and how you think they're going to evolve? Because I feel like they're going to evolve to a lot of cool things. We did an episode a while back on connected home and the ways that people might be able to use it for travel in the future. So yeah, what are your thoughts?
We're all pretty familiar with using voice to control these devices, and that's definitely grown. I mean, way back when kids were like trying to like do touch screens, and now it's like controlling everything with your voice. So that's evolved so much. The number one way that people are using these devices is definitely to listen to music. And so that's really where we have a good footprint in that arena. And I think that the way that destinations are using them is definitely through audio ads. And I'm going to talk from the advertising side, because I'm curious to see what they would be doing if there was like Alexa skills that they're creating on their end. I think that it's interesting, like a lot of these destinations are creating like virtual like audio tours. So I don't know if they're thinking about connected devices for that. But it's audio ads, because you have to think of like where you're reaching the consumer. And then just again, the important thing about, okay, we have the scale on connected home devices, but then also how do we tie back the creative to say, hey, are you at home? Like, what are you doing? Like, hang out with your family. I mean, I'm just spitfiring different creative and making sure that you don't have the call to action, say tap the banner, because there's no banner. It's like visit the social page. I'm seeing a lot of destinations say, you know, visit, you know, whether it's visit Fort Lauderdale, like their social page, because for the most part, we're going to have our phone right near us at the house.
Yep, exactly. No, it's so interesting to think about. Josh and I dove a little bit deeper into connected home, and some of the non-ad stuff you talked about, I think is fascinating as well.
But me too.
Definitely for this conversation, from an advertiser perspective, very important to have the right creative and call to action on there.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Laura, Sasha and I are always fighting about, especially as we're onboarding new clients, is our media mix. Like, where should budget go based on our clients' goals? So from the conversations you've had with DMOs specifically, how are they integrating this in their mix? Where are they seeing it in their marketing funnels? I have my own ideas of where it would fit in the funnel, but kind of tell me what you're seeing.
We typically are mid to upper funnel. And again, we do have some really great insights into ad exposure driving visitation. We just ran one with Arrivalist actually around for Colorado. During the pandemic, they had to shift to campaign that was in-state versus all their feeder markets. And due to that exposure of like this in-state staycation campaign, they saw a 70% lift. So that was like a good case study there. But I think it's, you know, definitely mid to upper funnel. And just based upon, we build recommendations based upon the 30% reach, you know, a 3 to 4 frequency. And that's really where we say, okay, if you want to have a substantial campaign and make sure that it's efficient, this is the recommendation we build based upon reach and frequency. And same with our podcast network, especially when we're looking from a geo-targeting standpoint.
I'm so glad you mentioned frequency, because I feel as though it's overlooked. Mm.
and a lot of media planning. And I feel strongly about frequency and bring it up. I feel as though a lot. So yeah, the 3 to 4 is important.
It's like frequency and creative. It's like you have to like hone in on those elements. But yeah, it's, I think it's just making sure that they have, they're touching all the different products and touching on the different listening habits and behaviors. And that's, again, we're seeing a lot more brands invest in podcasts, especially Podcast Network. We've had a couple destinations that will do a national campaign because they want Rob Lowe to talk about their destination. Which has been interesting.
Awesome. I think you mentioned the Colorado and Arrivalist case study. Any other good examples of like a really successful DMO-based campaign?
The Colorado is the most recent public-facing one. We've did a blinded case study with our dynamic audio product. This is also another one that I love for destinations is, as you know, with Pandora, we have our registration data, so we get a lot of insights into who that individual person is. So we work with a company called A Million Ads, where every individual person gets a personalized audio ad. So we know where you are, so we know what the weather is outside. So I'll use Utah as an example. We see it's snowing out there while you're driving on, what's the big freeway?
I-15.
You're driving on the I-15. Wouldn't a trip to, North Carolina or California or San Diego like be interesting to you? So every ad, or we heard you're listening to some pop music right now. Las Vegas has Katy Perry performing. So that product dynamic audio ad is, again, customized for each individual person. And from that, we saw a major lift in visitation by just adding personalized audio ads.
That's awesome. How do you keep it from being creepy, though? You're not calling them out by name,
no.
are you?
No, no, not by name. And no, not by name. But it's like, yeah, the examples, because we all know this. We're in media. Like, everyone wants personalized ads. So now you're hearing an ad that is, I don't think it sounds creepy, but like it is customized to you. And that's where destinations, especially the weather queue, all day long, destinations are using that.
That's awesome. I was going to say, I enjoy a more personalized ad experience. I like when I get served an ad that's a product that I'm interested in, I'm way more likely to take action. So I
agree.
That.
Says the woman who buys billboards.
Hey, I also like a good awareness campaign. For a billboard?
That's awesome.
Okay, I think this is my last question. And then I know you've got some other stuff to talk about too. But anyway, obviously we've determined that streaming audio is cool and it's exciting. And there's a million reasons to do it. Why would a destination not do it?
Where I think the biggest hurdle that I personally face is they want to showcase the destination. They want to showcase how beautiful it is. But once I start having the conversation of like, where are you reaching people when they're doing things like driving or running or working out? I said, I'm repeating myself from earlier, but like that aha moment is really what gets them of like, think of like all the things that you're doing where visual media can't reach you. And then I also will, you know, sometimes I'll say it's like, okay, when we're all watching shows, like whether it's on Hulu or Netflix or sports, we're all doing other things while we're watching. We're on Instagram, we're on Facebook. But one thing that we are not doing while watching TV is listening to a podcast or listening to music. So it's a really great incremental reach opportunity for destinations to reach the consumer.
That's a good point.
Oh, I will also, I'm going to add one more thing because I am very much into why I love, and I've been here for nine years. Why do I love audio, especially music so much is the way it makes me feel. And we've done so much research on how audio is like so great for your like mental well-being. And I'm like, if you're not jamming out to some music in between Zoom meetings, you're totally missing out. But that's one thing that travel brands have really come to us over the past year. Cause yeah, the scale's there, time spent there, but that ad environment is so important right now, especially with travel. There's still so much uncertainty around travel. So then to serve your ad in an environment where, for the most part, people feel good. I mean, I'm not deleting Pandora off my app, but I will tell you, I'm deleting Instagram off my app on a regular basis. Deleting off my phone on a regular basis. But like, the ad environment is so important. And that's really what I feel like music and audio and podcasts are.
I love that. And on that same note, what are you seeing people listen to over this last year? What are the trends?
I'm going to take it in a completely different route. Crime shows. I mean, we talk about like the biggest trend. People love is like murder, crime.
So destinations need to be talking about in their ads the famous murders that have happened in their destinations. Can we do that?
Right. Okay. So I said in the beginning, we have this exclusive partnership with Audio Chuck. So Ashley Flowers, if you're not familiar with Crime Junkie, check it out. Number one, it's not number one, but top podcast. And it is incredible. But yes, comedy and then music. I took it in. I'm like, it's a great ad environment. What's trending is true crime.
Absolutely, Laura. I think music and murder, like, they go hand in hand. They make me happy. That's exactly what I'm looking for when I'm not watching TV. And when I am watching TV, it's probably something true crime anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, before we wrap up, is there anything else you feel like our DMO listeners should keep in mind as they consider streaming audio for their campaigns?
I think really making sure I know I've said this a couple of times, but like, make sure the creative matches the audience that they're trying to reach, and then work with the platform or brand like an SXM Media on actually producing and copywriting and helping from a creative standpoint. Because I do think that the creative really is so important when it comes to destinations and their marketing strategies.
100%. Right there with you. Well, thank you so much for your time, Laura. It's been awesome. I feel like I learned a thing or two, especially now I know this is a digital product and Sasha's just going to have to deal with it. Okay. Well, thank you so much for your time. Have a great week. And thanks for being here.
Well, thanks for having me. And if you are if you're ever in Vegas, let me know.
Yeah. We'll meet you at the casino.
Please do. Okay. Thank you.
All right.